We would like to welcome Susan Utick to the airwaves. It's funny, it's been a while since we've had a schmooze with her. And Susan recently did a presentation to talk about the history of the domestic violence movement in Duluth, which not only changed the way things operated here in our community, but it changed the way things operate in communities all over this nation. Susan, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us.
Great. Good morning.
Can you recap for folks maybe who are new to our community, again, just what the how Duluth shaped the domestic violence movement going forward, because some really groundbreaking work and some groundbreaking new procedures were developed right here in our community.
Right. Well, before, take yourself back to the, even as late as the early 70s, and domestic violence was considered a private matter. Police were often, when they were called to a domestic, would often just have the offending party walk around the block, and not much more was done. Arrests were rare. In Duluth, we decided that domestic violence should be a public matter, that we should keep victims safe and hold offenders accountable. And that is, in a nutshell, what the Duluth model is all about, which is a continuum of care, the whole entire law enforcement, prosecutors, the criminal justice system, holding offenders accountable, along with nonprofits such as Safe Haven, Domestic Abuse Intervention Project, and others that have formed since that time.
So one of the things that's got folks concerned, and there's been a lot of conversation, and of course it's a very important topic right now as we begin the beginning of another school year, of course, in this country, is Betsy DeVos, the Secretary of Education, she wants to overhaul the guidelines for sexual reporting in colleges. And she believes that too many students have been falsely charged with sexual assault, and schools were too worried about being accused of ignoring accusations. And so she wants to change those guidelines. What's the reaction of folks who work with domestic and partner violence to some of her suggestions?
Well, of course, sexual assault is more the purview of sexual assault agencies such as PASA. But my initial reaction would be that I don't think she studied the matter enough, probably, to really understand. She sounds like a kind of a knee-jerk reaction to a few instances where she may feel people were not fairly treated on both sides. And so I think, knowing that her background is not this, I think it would probably be better for her to have put more study into the matter, because I think there was extensive study into the Obama-era guidelines, so I would not be quick to throw that out myself.
Susan, as you look forward into our community and, the incredible changes, as you mentioned, from the 70s when the response to a complaint of domestic assault is walk around the block, cool off, and then whatever. What do you see is the next big challenge to tackle, the next big piece of either changing laws, the next big piece of education? What comes next?
Well, as long as we continue to tolerate domestic violence in our society, it's going to exist. I often compare it to the tolerance we used to have for smoking, and it's really not all that analogous, but in some ways I find it analogous. And, now it's socially unacceptable to smoke in a public place, and there's laws that back that up. If we were to take that same aggressive approach to domestic violence and sexual assault, and trafficking as well, we would have better results.
What about instances where a woman does not want to come forward? There's been a lot of conversation and really useful conversation to help people understand why a woman may be afraid to leave, either because she doesn't have financial resources, she's not in a psychological place where she feels supported and perhaps she's afraid. Maybe she's concerned about what could happen to her kids or to pets, for example. So there are instances where you might even feel as though, as a, you know, perhaps a concerned friend or an onlooker, that you're pushing her in a direction she doesn't really want to go, if that's the way you're encouraging her. How do we deal with that piece?
First of all, you know, that is our, we as a victim organization, we take our lead from the woman, and we definitely do not push people to do something they don't want to do. However, it is often, or it can be, a policy of prosecutors to pursue matters even in against the woman's or the victim's wishes when it's in the public interest to do so. And there have been results in that this is actually the best way to handle it, because putting it in her hands is not appropriate. It's not just a violation of her rights, it's a violation of society's rights or to a free and safe place to be. So it may oftentimes be more successful if society just takes it on ourselves and prosecute these offenders instead of laying it on the victim to do so. It really shouldn't be her responsibility to do that.
So instead of a woman, in essence, instead of the woman coming forward and saying, this person is a clear and present danger to me, society steps forward and says, this person is a clear and present danger to society.
Correct. It's like if you you're a thief, or you know, you take something somewhat that can be a situation where society's going to say, well, there was a theft, we're going to go forward with this. Yeah, the complainant has some say in it, but taking it away from them could help us progress as a society and also help this person to get out of the situation they're in without blaming them. Because blame and shame are a big part of domestic violence or sexual assault. Victims often feel those feelings. And in the case of domestic violence, there's an intimate partner relationship usually with those situations. And so they love, or at one time loved, that person. So it makes it very difficult for them to go forward sometimes. But if society takes that off their plate and allows us to handle these matters in a different way, our results over time should be better.
That is it's a fascinating way of looking at it that I guess I hadn't considered before, but it really would take the onus off a victim. And just as someone might have to say, well, you know, my intimate partner, embezzled money or did fill in the blank, and I didn't know this about this person, and yes, this is, you know, it's suddenly a different way of looking at it. Yes, this is wrong. Yes, this person is dangerous to our society, and maybe it would make it easier for them to eventually make that break.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Susan, thank you so much for talking to us this morning, giving us a little bit of history and reminding us, I guess, of how much we have to be proud of here in our community. Thanks again for taking the time.
You're welcome. And remember, October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month.
Thank you, Susan. Susan Utek is the executive director of the Safe Haven Shelter and Resource Center, and she joined us this morning as our guest on Northland Morning.